in this match.
If it's a war, you can say whatever you want.
I thought it was a cult. I didn't know what was going on.
The Fed did. I think New York did.
One of your executive vice presidents loves that company.
It's the first ever finishing move that's exclusive to a promotion. What is happening, ladies, gentlemen, children of all ages? And what is happening with you?
Nothing. I had myself a weekend. I went to a winery, did some fishing, did some golfing. Had an average person weekend.
Yeah, sounds about like the whitest weekend I've ever heard.
I was going to say that, but I didn't know if you wanted me to say that or not. Yeah, no, I went golfing.
I went golfing,
I went to a winery, and I went fishing, and that's pretty much the white guy trio.
That is
a never open weight white guy championship right there, six man.
All you're missing is some cold beer and...
Oh, there was a few of those.
And some chewing tobacco, and you're like, white it out.
I mean, do my Marlboro Reds count?
Actually, yeah, they do. That's...
Although I went the entire second half yesterday without a cigarette.
That's good.
And it felt awful.
What happened to the fucking pipe tobacco to help you quit smoking?
It's upstairs.
I figured.
Our very, very brand new studio built on into the addition of my house here. It's upstairs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that didn't work out too well. It doesn't help because I still need to do it when I'm driving for work. And that's just...
Cruising down the highway with a fucking corncob pipe in your mouth, like Frosty the Snowman.
In an ice cream truck. How quickly would I get arrested for being a pedophile? I give it 10 minutes.
I don't know. That's quite the dilemma.
Yeah. But... Jesus Christ, here we go already.
I was waiting for you to say something.
But here we fucking go. Not a lot, whole lot news-wise this week, which is good. There was so much news forever that it kind of got saturated. But we got a couple things in the news docket. We have, of course, the war report, and then we'll talk about TakeOver and SummerSlam.
Yeah, so stick around. It'll be fun. So, what do we have to talk about on the news this week?
Tony Khan had the goddamn audacity.
Don't start.
Now, a couple of AEW stars got released.
Yeah, so Jimmy Havoc, Bea Priestley, and Sadie Gibbs were all released from their AEW.
As of we now, right now.
Yes.
There could be more.
I think we'd know if there were more,
but that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, I think that's obviously Bea and Jimmy Havoc both had allegations against them in the speaking out movement. And B and Sadie Gibbs are also located overseas, so that probably had to play a big role.
Is Havoc there too?
He was on the pandemic era Dynamite, so I don't know if he was just stuck in the U.S. or he lives in the U.S. But I think his clearly is more of, hey, we got to let this
risk
guy...
Risk reward?
Just, it's not a good look if we bring this guy back onto our programming, which we'll get into bad looks for bringing people back on programming later. But I just think, you know, and Jimmy Havoc isn't nearly as close to the top of the card as the other guy was that was brought back. So I think it should not matter,
but does.
Yeah, it shouldn't matter, but unfortunately in this business world, it does.
I actually got a kick out of some things that, I mean, I feel bad for them. They don't have jobs.
Well, I don't feel bad for Jimmy Havoc at all.
No, neither do I. Bea Priestley and Sadie Gibbs.
She's right.
She does have her baggage. Sadie Gibbs. Sorry.
Yeah, that's just an unfortunate stuck overseas situation.
But I hated Jimmy Havoc as a wrestler before I knew he was an awful person. And I hate him as a person now. I saw so many people going, WWE will scoop Jimmy Havoc right and put him on NXT. And I have several $500 bets that if Jimmy Havoc ever steps foot in NXT, I know.
I was hoping those people were just being sarcastic.
I don't think they were.
I mean, first of all, if Jimmy Havoc's your cup of tea, fine. But who would want Jimmy Havoc in NXT? I don't think, like, his specialty is like the deathmatch type deal, and that's not really NXT's jazz. So like, he wouldn't even thrive there if he wasn't a piece of shit. And on top of not thriving there, he is a piece of shit.
Yeah,
so.
Not great. But yeah, he'll go back to the British Indies and fuck off.
Will he? Because I think they're kind of done with him too. I think he's done.
Well, he can't hold an office job. Do you see him? He looks like he's on heroin.
He'll have to figure something out.
Okay.
I mean, Progress is where all this shit happens, so they're not going to fucking take him back.
That's true. That's very true. But, I don't know. Fuck off, Jimmy Havoc.
Jesus.
Bea Priest will go back to Japan.
Yeah, she already basically tweeted that she'll be back in Stardom. And for her and Sadie, maybe once the pandemic's over, they bring them back. I feel bad for Sadie because before...
She never got going.
Well, before quarantine struck, she was getting ready to move to Atlanta and train with QT at the Nightmare Factory. And, you know, they had to make a business decision. I don't know how much her contract was, but it doesn't make sense to pay somebody when they can't even come over here to work. And especially, like, AEW, they're doing more than all right for themselves, but they're not WWE in terms of finances. And the cons have a football team and a football team to worry about, in both forms of football, American and association. So they have a ton of priorities. So I it sucks for Sadie, but I understand why they made the move they did. And I think they got to be commended for waiting as long as they did to do it, because they could have easily done it in March or April and just said, fuck it. But they tried waiting it out and waiting it out and waiting it out. But everyone's getting hit, so. Except WWE made a record $43 million this quarter.
That's insane.
It's TV rights fees, man.
Yeah, it's insane. There's literally nobody in the stands that are making money.
You know, like, AEW is going to hurt WWE when these TV deals are up for negotiations in 4 years, because Turner's only giving them like $45 million a year. Fox is giving WWE $220 million a year.
Yeah, it's insane. It's money I can't even
fucking. And I think USA is around like the 120 mark.
Well, that's the thing. They doubled up. They doubled up for Raw, right? And so that's why they got rid of SmackDown.
Yeah, so if AEW keeps bringing in the ratings it does for the low cost, that's going to hurt WWE when they have to renegotiate TV deals in 2024, yeah. But who knows what the landscape's going to look like in 2024.
Who knows what we'll all even be here in 2024.
That's true.
I have no absolute idea.
2020 feels like it's lasted 15 years. Yeah, it's
at least 36 years.
It's like some days I'm like, wow, it's already the middle of August. Another day is like, holy shit, it's only the middle
of
August.
Like March was 9 years ago.
March was 9 years ago.
No way around it. But that's it about that, AEW. Finally, is it the first superstars to get released in the promotion?
Kylie Rae.
Oh, was she released? Oh, she granted released. Her release, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Which other weird things surrounded that, but...
No one still knows what happened there.
Something did. Something happened. Absolutely something happened. But that's not what we're here to talk about. Up next, WWE made a very executive decision, and I think it's a very good decision.
So, WWE has decided to move Raw and SmackDown out of the Performance Center. I'm assuming NXT will stay at Full Sail, because they kind of already have a nice setup there for it. But Raw and SmackDown will be going to the Amway Center, home of the Orlando Magic. They signed a short-term lease agreement. Every show through October 30th will be at the Amway Center, per John Alba, who breaks a lot of WWE news, especially in Florida, because that's where he's located. So, yeah, he reported that they have the building leased through October 30th. Every Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-view will take place there, starting this Friday on SmackDown. Last night's Raw will have been the last PC show, hopefully ever. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. They're apparently going to go for the virtual fan route like the NBA's done. It's going to be interesting to see how that's executed.
They're having watch parties hosted by superstars and legends.
Ryan Satin reported that the superstars will be able to hear the virtual crowd, so they'll be able to work with reactions again, which I'm sure they're probably thrilled about because, I mean, I guess it's nice to have the NXT crowd there, but they're not organic reactions. Except Bugenhagen, who's always shouting hysterical stuff. Like when McIntyre got to pick the stipulation and he yelled eye for an eye. That was awesome.
Oh, Bugenhagen. That's not his name anymore, is it?
I think it's Rick Boogs now, which is just awful.
It sounds like a cocaine dealer.
Rick Boogs.
What do you call at 3 a.m. when you need an 8-ball?
Rick Boogs, baby.
Absolutely.
Rick Boogs.
But I think it's a good move. Yeah, it's definitely not a bad move.
It can't be worse than the PC. Yeah,
and it's desperate times. You know what I'm saying?
And, like, I hate to go back to AEW again real quick. They're able to have pyro and stuff every week, and it still kind of feels like a big-time TV production when, like, WWE, the Performance Center, it's literally just a warehouse. There's no life to it. And hopefully the combination of being able to have pyro, being able to have bigger stage designs, and having some...
There's a little more room to action. Work with. Some better lighting.
Yeah, better lighting. More space for Raw Underground, because that's very important.
Yeah, that's absolutely important.
So you have a gigantic arena with no people to work with, the whole things to themselves.
More room for people to hit on the eye bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I love, by the way. Yep. I fucking love it.
It's weird that Baxter girl has been hanging around for, like, multiple weeks now. Like,
yeah, she's out of her mind.
There's something going on with there, and I don't know what. I don't know, like, what they're doing with her, but they're doing something
with her. Ivar Pools, that's what they're doing with her.
Well, she was with Natty and Zigman the first week.
You're right, she was. But so, Ivar Pools, that's the mono rock.
Eric, not so much.
It's not going to be SummerSlam. You can't see it coming. It's SummerSlam, Ivar Pools.
I hope Ivar's in a pool at SummerSlam.
I hope he is, too.
That'd be cool.
He's the 1995 Cannonball champion.
He's the 2020 slam dunk champion.
He is. He's a ringer. Remember how great he was at basketball?
But for some reason, he threw the entire game for reasons I still don't entirely understand.
I don't give a shit. I love those segments. I loved those segments.
I liked it until motorcycles and ninjas got involved. I do love the ninjas, but I love how the ninjas arrived on ninjas. That's brand symmetry at its finest.
I watched that with you, and I don't think I'll ever experience something like that again. Both of our eyes were just... We were that guy who watched The Undertaker lose.
They were just having a wacky fight being put through windows and bowling balls thrown at the crotch, and then all of a sudden ninjas show up on ninjas, and then the big ninja shows up, who has graduated to Raw Underground Security Guard.
I mean, it's a promotion. He's working for McMahon now, not at Tozawa.
But on a totally unrelated note, they either got to drop the ninjas thing or change their gear because they look way too much like Retribution, and I don't know how nobody, like, sees that as an issue.
I didn't think about it until right now.
They look just like Retribution.
They do. They absolutely do.
They all wear the exact same thing.
Oh, Retribution's going to be fun to talk about in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I keep waiting for you to pull the trigger when you want to talk about it. We have plenty of source material.
Oh, we do, but we're going to need a little more.
My favorite is the first guy threw the cinder block through the window, and then the second guy threw the cinder block through the already broken window instead of the other window.
And they ran away?
No, you go home.
I laughed really, really hard at that for the wrong reasons, but...
Someone stretched them out because they're gigantic now. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I think a certain Kovic got through there. Dijakovic 19 got through there.
Dijakovic 19.
But yeah, that was definitely him, and I think Mojo was there because
we need Dijakovic 20, 21, and 22 then, because there's still a couple of midgets out there.
Somebody hit the Mojo spear, and it had to be Mojo, right?
I don't know. Supposedly these are all still just extras and none of these people are the real members, so like
guess we'll find out.
I don't know how long they could, like, the unveil has to be relatively soon.
Maybe at SummerSlam? Maybe at Payback?
Maybe at Payback. I don't
know. I think that might be the Retribution pay-per-view. I honestly think it might be.
Well, wouldn't somebody want to get Payback on Retribution?
Yeah.
So it's the anti-Retribution.
I hope Cena pins them all.
So well, he'd do that at SummerSlam because that's where he buried the Nexus.
Yep, and then he hasn't won a SummerSlam since.
I guess that's... No, he beat Baron Corbin in 2017.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
I don't think he did.
I'm about to look this up right now.
But I don't know.
I was there.
Oh, I was there, mister. I go to every show. But you know, I think he lost like 7 years in a row.
He might have, but I'm pretty sure he won in 2017.
Hit me with it.
What does that say?
Baron Corbin beat John Cena single match 10 minutes, 15 seconds.
It's not what that
says. John Cena defeated Baron Corbin.
Stop spreading lies. Look what was right before that, though.
Usos defeated New Day. Great shit.
Yeah.
Great shit. But I am Way Center. I'm happy to see it. And I'm looking forward to what they can do.
Oh, there. God. This is Big Cast versus Big Show with Enzo in a shark cage.
Oh, God. We saw the go-home show that, did we not?
I don't think we did.
I think we saw SmackDown in that time frame.
Well, they were on Raw, so that wouldn't...
We saw Raw in that time frame.
I think it was in June. I think it was like right after the turn happened. I think it was in June.
Because Enzo teamed with Big Show in the show we saw.
Yeah, I think it was like a couple months before SummerSlam, but whatever.
But
yep, that's all the news you got this week.
Not bad. So coming up next, we'll get into our world famous war report. So stick around and we'll talk about AEW and the Black and Yellow brand.
Yep. So now it is time for the critically acclaimed and much heralded War Report.
Podcast segment of the year, 5 years in a row, and podcast segment monthly.
From August 12th, as always, we will start with All Elite Wrestling Dynamite. It was Tag Team Appreciation Night at Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida.
And boy, did I appreciate WWE's Tag Team Division.
No, you didn't. No one does.
No, I didn't.
The opener. The Young Bucks taking on the Dark Order. The Young Bucks are heading out to the ring before they get jumped by three Dark Order geeks. Uno and Stu eventually come out, and they cleaned up after their followers, and the match officially started with Dark Order immediately getting the heat. They got the heat for a while. Eventually, Matt makes a comeback. He does a spot where he crawls under the ring to escape the three masked geeks. He finally gets the hot tag to Nick, who turns to the hard cam and says, "Best comeback in the business, baby."
Did you want to kick his head off as much as I did?
Yeah, I mean,
come on, dude. Shut the fuck up.
It's what they do, though. You just kind of got to accept it.
Fucking Young Bucks. Balding, stupid fuck.
That's how the people know you listen to Cornette, because you take all his insults.
That's not his insult.
He's called him Balding Buck for the past.
I call him a Balding, stupid fuck. He's balding. Are we going to say he's not?
Next thing you know, you're going to call Matt fucking Road Warrior Buck.
Well, I mean, that's long before him. That's long before. He is Road Warrior Buck.
He sold it back for two years.
But he's never going down. He can fight off a million men with just punches and super kicks.
When you're an executive vice president.
Yeah, no, you can do whatever you want. I'm in. Oh, this match wasn't bad.
No, it was a fun opener. Nick got the pin. At least the superior Young Buck got the victory.
Yeah, Uno looks like he looks good because he lost weight and he's moving a little better. I like their finisher. I love that gory bomb fucking bullshit.
Yes, I like Excalibur. Fatality!
I'm not saying anything like Excalibur.
He has gotten better, though, because I was watching, like, a lot of Double or Nothing, and he literally would yell after every fucking
thing. He fucking ejaculates.
But now he's gotten better. He doesn't do that anymore.
I mean, look who he's fucking working with. Like, I think JR told him, like, listen, pal, calm the fuck down for a minute, will you?
So, up next, we have Maxwell Jacob Friedman and his presidential address. He comes out. He has some fake polling numbers that have him at plus 500%, and Moxley was at negative 100%, which, not sure how that's possible, but...
Not a math guy, but I don't think so.
The numbers add up, and they spell disaster for Moxley. He said Moxley wasn't there because he wasn't in the position that Moxley is comfortable with. He then proceeds to lay down flat in the ring. And I will say, I love the camera on the ceiling looking.
Yeah, it looked great. What did he say after that? He goes, "What, Ma, people looking up to the lights for you," or something like that?
Yeah. He calls Mox a rabid dog who enjoys chasing cars, and now that he's caught the nicest car in the street, he cannot handle it. He asks Moxley to just give him the title to avoid the embarrassment. Moxley's music plays, and MJF sent his... we have to mention. I'm so glad I remembered before I get too far ahead in this segment.
The callback?
Yes, it was excellent.
It was well done.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, at TakeOver Brooklyn 2, when Joe faced Nakamura for the NXT title, MJF was one of the security extras, and he got a little too much camera shine, and Joe didn't appreciate it, so he shoved him against the wall, and MJF recreated it with his own security entourage, and I thought that was a great callback. One of those things where, like, if you don't get it, it still works,
yeah.
But if you get it, it's even fucking better.
Yeah, it's like... I don't know. We talked about this earlier, and I forget what we were talking about. What were we talking about?
What do you mean? I'm lost.
Something on SmackDown. Joe Park,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, MJF sent his men in the crowd to try and cut Moxley off, but Moxley came through the normal entrance tunnel for the first time in his life. He hit Friedman, threw him into the podium, and then hit the paradigm shift, which... Fucking MJF sold the hell out of that paradigm shift.
Yes, he did.
And I think I said last week, like, I'm not the biggest fan of the whole campaign shtick, but MJF makes it work. He's probably the best promo in the business. I mean,
easily.
Yeah.
Easily. Him or Cole. I think they're the top two.
Adam or Michael?
Both.
But, yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm anxious to see where they go. If I were them, I would put the strap on MJF.
Would you?
I would.
This soon?
Yeah. I mean, Moxley's pretty much ran through the entire fucking roster. You know what I mean?
I mean, and Moxley also beat brand new guys.
Yeah.
Twice. But.
And I think, like, I think they're getting sick of, even though it's not true and people are just being dicks, I think they're sick of, like, the ex-WWE guy narrative.
Yeah, they are. I agree with them.
And I think this would be the perfect time to put it on a quote-unquote homegrown guy and let him run with it. Let him run with it for, like, 2 years and then... Have Cody find a way to weasel out of the no more title shot stipulation, and he's the one that takes it from him. But we'll see what they do. Cody swears he's never going to hold that title.
He's going to hold that title.
We'll see. But yeah, I like the segment, even with the candidate shit. Here's something I was really excited about coming up next, and like it was good.
It just fell flat of my expectations.
Yeah. So TNT title's on the line. Cody took on Scorpio Sky. I've been screaming for Scorpio Sky to get a singles push since the match with Jericho in November. I like the symbolism in his entrance where he kicked the door down. Cody came out with like 45 people in his fucking entourage.
The entire Nightmare extended family.
Including Brandy with not one, but two of her action figures, which are pulling in big money on the eBay right now. So they start off with some chain wrestling. Then the intensity picks up as these fights spilled out from the ring. We go to commercial. We come back. Sky is in control with an abdominal stretch. Cody counters with a hip toss. He hits a crossroads. Sky kicks out. They do a spot that I don't mind if it's the finish, but the way they did it, I really didn't like. So they did the superplex spot where Sky hooks him for the pin. If that was the finish, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but Cody kicked out and both men just got up and kept going. Like Cody didn't just give him a superplex. Like I'm fine with the whole hooking the legs after the superplex spot if it's going to be the finish, but when it's not the finish and both guys get up and like just keep wrestling, I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of it.
It just fell short. Cody just can't keep biting people.
Scorpio goes for the TKO. Cody counters, hits another crossroads, gets the victory. I like the match. I just was expecting more.
I think he's got to lose his belt eventually. Who's he losing the belt to? Is he losing it Saturday?
I don't think he's losing it for a long time.
I think it's time to drop it for him.
He's had it like a month.
I know. It seems like longer.
Well, because he defends it every week.
He just beats everybody all the time. Like, it's just...
But it's not like he's not Triple H-ing people. He's making his opponent... Triple H-ing people. He's not Triple H-ing people.
Okay, fair enough. But Scorpio guy should have won.
Almost everybody he's beat has come out of it a bigger star.
That's fair.
You got Eddie Kingston signed. You got Ricky Stark signed. We'll see what happens with Scorpio. Who else did he face? Mark Quinn didn't really do anything for him. I'll give you that one. Jungle Boy. I don't know what the fuck's going on with Jungle Boy.
They have so much potential there.
I heard via the internet that they want to push Jungle Boy, but they're waiting until crowds get back.
You know what? That's fair. The kind of babyface he's going to have to be needs crowds.
I understand their logic, but like when we don't know when that's going to be, we can't just have him keep losing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you just can't be losing tag matches with a fucking dinosaur.
Yeah. Speaking of losing tag matches with dinosaurs, up next, we have Kenny Omega and Adam Page.
Can I say something that I hate so much?
Oh, yeah. We should also mention at the end of the TNT title match, Brody Lee appeared with the old title and said that he wants a new one. Although the new TNT title is fucking beautiful.
It looks nice.
Everyone that gave them shit for not having that title finished, what the fuck do you guys say now? Because that thing's fucking sexy.
It was. It was ugly as hell in the first
video. Yeah, but it wasn't done.
No, it wasn't. But it still was ugly as hell.
It was, but this one is, ugh.
And
I might have to get it.
It is nice. If they sell it, I don't know.
There's always a way.
Yep, there's always a way. Red leather will make it for you. But there's something I hate so much, and I think you'll agree with me. Could fucking Luchasaurus stop using the 65 million years line? I hate that line.
Just come out and roar once for me, baby.
Just once. Roar for me.
I don't necessarily think it's his fault, but he's lost so much steam in the past year.
I've never seen anybody cool down as high.
Last year at this time, we do you remember we had the conversation like, all right, when Luchasaurus is world champion, how the fuck does he do press conferences? Yeah. He's a dinosaur. Like last year at this time, we were legitimately having that conversation, and now he's just a guy.
He's just a guy. Yeah, that wears a mask. Yeah. And sometimes his face comes off, but.
Taz is awesome. I love Taz.
I hate the 65 million years line, and it's everything that company and they want to break away from stereotypes. I get that, but sometimes I'm not their stereotyping a dinosaur. Old tropes, let's say, come out and fucking roar for me one time. Just scream. I don't care what. Just stop using that stupid 65 million years line. I hate it.
I don't think I hate it as much as you, but I think I get your point.
You know what I mean? Come out and be a fucking wrestler.
I think if it was once in a while, I wouldn't mind it, yeah, but it's every promo.
It's every week.
Yeah.
It's every week. I don't care that he has his fucking masters in medieval history. I couldn't give a less of a fuck that he has his masters in medieval history. He's a goddamn dinosaur.
That he is.
Right, to the match.
He is indeed a dinosaur. That is facts.
All right, to the match.
So Omega starts, he backs Jungle Boy in the ropes, then Omega and Marco Stunt get into him. He slaps him, that pisses Jungle Boy off. He goes after Omega. Jurassic Express starts to build momentum. Kenny tags Hangman in, and then they get the heat on poor little Jungle Boy. Long commercial break. We come back. Luchasaurus gets the hot tag, but that does not last long, as Omega immediately stifles him with a V-trigger and a pair of Snapdragons. Then he went outside and hit one on Marco's stunt just to be a dick. I mean, they're teasing the Omega heel turn so much that I think Hangman's gonna be the one that turns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're teasing Omega is being more and more of a dick every week.
Absolutely.
So I think it's gonna be a swerve, bro. So yeah, he's being a dick to poor little Marco stunt. Both teams started exchanging blows as they build to the finish. The champs hit the last call on Jungle Boy for the dub and retain the titles. What did you think of this?
It was all right.
Yeah,
a nice mid show match.
I thought it was a fine match. Yeah. I wish they would have pinned Luchasaurus instead of Jungle Boy, but that's just because I think Jungle Boy is going to be a future star.
I think we know Jungle Boy is going to be a future star.
So now we go to the tag team appreciation segment. We come out, the Bucks, FTR, Tully and Arn, and Rock and Roll Express are all in the ring.
Unbelievable lineup minus the Bucks.
Stop it. Like, I know you don't like the Young Bucks, but they have done a lot for tag team wrestling.
They have, I'm not going to say a lot, but they have changed it immensely.
Well, if that
makes any sense.
Not really. I mean, if they changed it, they've done a lot.
No, yeah, they have. They took it from what it was to make it what it is.
They're not your cup of tea, but no, you they're can't
not.
Deny.
I'm not judging it.
You
that.
Can't deny no, they are. What they're, they've done.
The impact is real.
No, that's on Tuesdays.
Yes.
But the Rock and Roll Express cut a babyface promo talking about how the Young Bucks are the new Rock and Roll Express, which I'm sure that got some people angry.
Did he say something like tassels?
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
Well, they both wore tassels.
Yeah, he's like, you're the greatest tag team because you wear tassels.
Because they wore tassels back in the day.
Well, so did the Rockers.
Well, Marty Jannetty is his own issue.
I wouldn't piss off Marty Jannetty at the moment. He'll throw you the Chattahoochee.
Should have checked the Chattahoochee.
We didn't talk about that.
We did. Because what can we say, man? I don't want to bury the guy. He clearly has demons. Like, I feel bad. Like, I mean, he might have confessed to a murder. I don't know. Or he might just be so drugged up that he doesn't know what day of the week it is.
Get well soon, Marty.
We didn't talk about it because I don't know what to say. Like, I feel bad.
I agree with you.
Then Arn starts cutting a promo, and eventually Tully's had enough. He takes the mic. He criticizes Arn for being in the Nightmare family. He points at Cody's neck tattoo on Arn's shirt and says, "What is that?" And Tully says, "No tag team can claim to be the best unless they have the belts. And none of you have the belts, so none of you are the best." So then Sean Spears comes out. Arn and Tully leave, but it is all a distraction. So Dax can take off his knee brace, which he didn't need because he was a faking it. And he hit the Rock and Roll Express with it. And then Ricky.
They murdered Ricky
Morton. Oh, man. Well, he took a spike pile driver from FTR. I'm sure FTR were grinning ear to ear on the inside because they hit a fucking spike pile driver on
the greatest wrestling tag team.
Yes.
On the greatest wrestling tag team wrestler ever.
We got to fucking see the Rock and Roll Express wrestle for New Japan. What a fucking wild world.
And then we had a beer with them.
We did. That's even crazy. We did. We drank with the
Ricky Morton loved my shirt. I think he was shit-faced. He's like, he loved my shirt. And I said, "Sir, I don't think you know, it's such an honor to see you wrestle. I'm sorry."
But yeah, I think they did a good job at telling the story.
Sure what it wanted to achieve.
Oh, I was. It's clearly Tully, Spears, and FTR in cahoots.
Yes.
That's the story.
Maybe even Arn. Maybe Arn was a distraction.
Possible. Because that's possible. Because
he walked towards Sean Spears and he didn't say anything.
Yeah. So I think it's clear they're all in cahoots. I don't understand why FTR was acting so friendly to the Bucks the past. Like, I'm going to let it play out, but I think they did a good job telling this chapter of the story. I just don't know necessarily if it was the chapter I would have went for, if that
That's
makes
fair.
Sense.
No, I understand.
But I thought they did a good job.
You're saying it was getting here eventually, but
it was a weird way to get there.
It was a weird way to get there. I don't think anybody's disputing that.
But I'm glad they're not just going to keep having the match buddy-buddy forever because that was...
You had to get them away from each other.
Yeah, I guess...
Had to get them away from each other.
I guess they're going to pull the trigger and have the match all out without fans, which is kind of unfortunate, unless they keep finding a way to...
I'm assuming first of many.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be more than one, but that... call me crazy, but FTR and Young Bucks might arguably be the hottest match in wrestling just because it's had an organic build for 4 years.
Yeah.
But hey, it's the women's segment time.
Yeah, here comes the winner. Here comes the women's minute.
Hikaru Shida taking on Heather Monroe. It was a squash match. Shida wins.
Equality.
And I cut them a break last week because last week's show was pre-taped. This week's show was live, and there wasn't even a Britt Baker segment this week. The squash match was the only segment for the ladies. But the finals of the tournament will be on next Saturday's Dynamite, so at least they're not putting the finals on YouTube. But unfortunately, hopefully, I mean, we will know who's in the finals by the time this comes out, but recording it before the semis take place, I fear that this may just be something to get Brandi Rhodes over. I really hope they change their minds based on the shit people have been giving them on Twitter. But I don't... I mean, who are you going to put over? Anna Jay and Ty Conti? Like...
Yeah, honestly. It's just the title isn't there.
Like, we'll see what they do. I don't know. I've tried cutting them slack because they have women overseas, but... It felt like they didn't even try this week.
No, they did not. They absolutely didn't.
At least they're keeping Shida strong, but she literally has no one to face.
But she's beating jobbers. She's not very strong if she's beating jobbers over and over.
Well, she's beating them in minutes. At least she's not...
Yeah,
she's, I mean...
Yeah, you're right. You're
when
right.
Kenny Omega went 8 minutes without Alan Angels, I thought you were going to have an aneurysm. I mean, hey,
that put Alan Angels over, man. He gets to stand behind Brody Lee now. Instead of the side of him, like, five.
And
no, he is five. He is five.
He is five, yes. Somehow... Preston Vance is 10, but Alan Angels is 5.
That is a Godfather reference that I hope they're not making. I don't know if you've ever seen The Godfather 2, but Frank Pentangeli, Pentangeli translates to five angels.
I'm sure that's...
Frankie Five Angels.
I'm sure that's why he's 5.
Yeah, so...
But the numerical ordering of the Dark Order makes no sense.
Yeah, there's like a 9, but no 6 or 7. It's...
Why... No, I think 6, 7, and 8, and 9 are the jobbers. I think they're the 4 job guys. Because Evil Uno is obviously 1. Stu Grayson's 2.
Stu Grayson.
Well, his name on Twitter is Stu Dose. Does that mean Brody Lee, the fucking leader, is 3? Why is the leader 3? Shouldn't the leader be 1?
It's probably some satanic bullshit.
I don't know. I think Evil Uno is Evil Uno, and they're like, oh shit, I guess he has to be number 1 now. Now the main event time. I don't know how we got on a Dark Order tangent.
Oh, Mike Chioda's here also.
Yeah, we should. Mike Chioda officiated the TNT title match. And before the main event, Chris Jericho is cutting a promo with him. He promised that if he does the right thing, he will get him a job here in AEW. Chioda says he's going to call it right down the middle. But Chioda has that look in his eyes like he's going to fuck Orange Cassidy. So now we go to the main event, the $7,000 challenge. Cassidy does not come out as the lethargic sloth we all know and love. He immediately sends Jericho to the corner and unloads on him with rights and lefts. He knocks Jericho out of the ring and hits a slingshot crossbody. Jericho eventually counters with a boot to the face. Jericho takes control and attempts to play with Orange Cassidy, make him look like a fool, so to speak. That allows Cassidy to make a comeback. He hits Jericho with a series of dragon screws that Jericho had no interest in taking.
Well, not at all.
Jericho pulls out a bat, but Mike Chioda shows his true colors and does not let Jericho use the bat. Cassidy got a near fall after a Michinoku driver. Santana and Ortiz try to come down and run interference. Best friends come to run them off. Makes sense because they're all feuding, so that's all good and well. Jake Hager comes out of nowhere while Chioda's dealing with the four men brawling on the outside. He hits Cassidy with a big slam. OC kicks out. And then Cassidy goes for a mousetrap, but Jericho does not go over with him, and they just kind of fall to the mat.
It was so bad.
I feel bad for Orange Cassidy because it wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't. It's just Jericho's fat fucking...
Stop it.
His fat, out-of-shape, singing ass in his fucking leather and his COVID... Couldn't get around.
It should be illegal, though, not much leather.
Jesus Christ. He's wide. I don't think I just... He's bigger than ever, like, star-wise, and he's also bigger than ever. he's so wide. He looks like you took him on a, like, paint and expanded him.
Jesus.
That's what he looks like. He's wide. I don't know. He was never that wide. He put on some jelly rolls in the side of him,
He's 50.
He should. He is. He's just a little out of shape, and I wish he would get into it, because he's great when he's this.
I mean, he's 50. I don't think he's too concerned with how he looks. He's making a lot of money and having fun.
But if you can take a roll-up, come on, dude.
So I think we got to have a conversation here. So wrestling's a variety show. I know a lot of people don't think Orange Cassidy has any place on national television. You've been quoted as saying that gimmick has to stick to the indies, but I disagree. I think wrestling's a variety show. Like, Hornswoggle was able to find a niche in WWE. Like, there's been all these wacky characters. Like, wrestling should have something for everybody. So I do agree that Orange Cassidy has a spot in AEW. And clearly this feud has been trying to elevate him. But what do you do with Orange Cassidy from here?
I don't know. He can't go back to being the Sloth. He just beat Chris Jericho.
But if he's not the Sloth, that's what everyone loves.
I know. I think it might be a little bigger of a problem than we thought.
And, like, let's just say Orange Cassidy's a main eventer now. Like, the problem is, if he wins the world title and he acts like he doesn't care about the world title, that buries your world title.
Yes.
If he wins the world title and starts caring about the world title, that's not the Orange Cassidy that everybody knows and loves. It's like a catch-22. So, like, you got the book. Orange Cassidy's elevated. Now you're forced to do something with him. What are you doing?
I let him wrestle for the TNT title.
Do you have him win it?
No.
So what did you elevate him for?
Didn't you not just say Cody's putting over people and...
But he doesn't need to be elevated by Cody when he just beat Jericho. Yeah. I feel like that's a step above that.
I don't know.
Or let me rephrase that. What do you think they are doing with him?
Because I have no idea what they're doing with him.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know. You're right, though. It's weird because where he goes from, like, he just beat one of the greatest wrestlers ever.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that matters to them.
I mean, it definitely does, because the only other time he's lost a singles match was the Moxley. He's beat everybody. He beat Cody. He beat Omega. He beat Paige. He beat everybody in that company except Mox. And now Cassidy beat him. So they got to do something with him.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. They have to. But what?
I don't know.
There's not much to do. There's not a top level story. Did he get into an MJF for a little bit?
I mean, I think MJF is bigger fish to fry at the moment.
You're right. I don't know. I have honestly no idea.
That's maybe Cage, the FTW title, because that's still a thing, apparently.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that might be it.
I don't know. They just got to be doing something with them.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously have plans.
But yeah, that was AEW. I liked the show, actually.
I did, too.
I thought it was a very good show. Now we're going to get to something that I thought absolutely sucked. And I usually love this show. NXT. August 12th edition of NXT. We kick off with Karrion Kross taking on Danny Burch. Kross makes his entrance.
Giant Burch versus Little Burch.
Danny Burch storms to the ring, and I love this. He is yelling at the ref to ring the bell because he will not attack Kross before the bell. He has honor.
That's phenomenal.
So, he yells at the ref to ring the bell. They have a semi-competitive match. Eventually, Burch has Kross in the Kross face, but Kross fires out of it. It's, oh wow, I didn't realize I was making a pun there.
Pun intended.
Pun not intended, but pun taken. He hits a couple Doomsday Saitos and then the Kross jackets. And Danny Burch has to tap out. Keith Lee storms to the ring with a contract. He slides it to Kross. Kross signs the contract. Scarlett slid it back to Keith Lee. For some reason, Keith Lee opened it. I guess to verify that he actually signed it. But that was a grave mistake because when he opened it, he was blinded by a fireball.
Booking in Memphis.
The hokiest fucking thing I've ever seen in NXT.
Yeah, that was wild. That was fucking wild.
That was straight out of Monday Night Raw.
That was Joaquin Wild.
That was straight out of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it was. It was. You know what? I'm not opposed to fireballs.
Me either, but it was just so wacky. It was.
They also stayed on him for the next hour.
Yes.
Like, on camera. It was wild.
So, Killian Dane, get Dane versus Drake Maverick. The entirety of this match was picture in picture, with the other picture not being a commercial, but being Keith Lee loaded into an ambulance. Eventually, they finally go full screen, and then Undisputed Era stormed the ring. So
they got like a Nissan. It was funny as shit.
Yeah, the top faction drives a fucking Sentra. So there you have it.
Boom.
But I think Roddy was driving. So if anyone would own a Nissan Sentra, it'd be Roddy Strong.
Absolutely,
so.
he's got Strong Boy Troy to take care of.
He does. So Undisputed storm the ring. They beat up both men. He calls out McAfee and dares him to show up next week.
It was a good promo.
It was a great promo, but poor Drake Maverick and poor Killian Dane got absolutely fucked. Yeah, I feel bad for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I guess they had to put two guys in this spot, and
those two are the guys.
Darcy blows. So, up next, we have a backstage segment with Kushida and Cameron Grimes. Kushida tells Cameron Grimes that he is not afraid of the mystery opponent, and he only has one goal, the North American Championship. Little does he know what's to come. Up next, Santos Escobar versus Tyler Breeze. Legado del Fantasma has been one of my favorite things on NXT lately.
I just think they're fantastic.
Escobar tells Wild and Mendoza to stay in the back. Tyler Breeze walks with a purpose. They have a competitive match for a while, but then Legado del Fantasma interferes. This allows Escobar at the Phantom Driver for the ring, for the win, excuse me. Afterwards, they beat down Breeze until Fandango makes a save, and then Isaiah Swerve Scott comes down to even the odds, and they made a six-man tag team match next week. Dakota Kai pre-tape interview, it was very good. She talks about what she needs to do to defeat Io Shirai. Backstage, Mia Yim explains that she needs to focus on a match rather than Keith Lee. And I hated this, and I'm going to tell you why. Because Mia Yim just cut a promo so fucking concerned about her boyfriend. But then she comes out and does her goofy fucking pose.
Yep.
What the fuck? And I'll get to fucking doing goofy poses when they're not called for later. Because there's a serial offender of that is on the show later. And I think, I hope you know who I'm talking
also
about.
Also, pun intended?
I don't know what the pun would be. No, no, no. It's not Dream.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know
about
what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I have to make a fantasy pick real quick. So why don't you take the lead for a second here?
Was this Gargano time?
Oh, shit.
Was this Gargano time?
Yeah.
The Garganos did one of their Gargano house things.
We should mention that Mia Yim beat Indy Hartwell pretty quickly.
Yes. So Johnny and Candace were in their weird horror movie house, and Johnny called himself the Wednesday Night, which made me laugh very much. And he just continued to be a warpath on NXT.
Good. I got Tyreek Hill, Miles Sanders, or Travis Kelce.
Miles Sanders, the running back. But
I think I go with Tyreek.
There's a lot of weapons there. But
that's true.
I think that Gargano, I love every single one of these. How about yourself?
Oh yeah, Gargano's been great since he's turned heel. He's goofy, but he's great.
The Wednesday night made me laugh a lot. He was telling a story. She was reading a story to their dog. Or a cat, I forget which one it was. But
it's her dog.
Up next, a match I don't understand why it happened.
Yeah, this is weird.
This was like, it was fine.
I mean, I get why it happened. They had a confrontation last week.
Yeah, but like I don't know. Damian Priest took on big thick boy Bronson Reed. I'm a huge fan of both of these guys.
Yeah, they're great.
Priest walked in very cockily, so it looks like he's heading back to the heel turn.
Cockily, you say.
Cockily, cockamini. Bronson Reed threatened to show why he's more than a man with one big win. He beat the shit out of Priest real early. I almost said punishment. We'll get to Martinez later. He kept throwing Priest reversed an Irish whip and threw Bronson Reed into the steps. He hit a ridiculous Falcon Arrow for a near fall. Reed missed a tsunami and Priest, but he caught. It was a weird finish, was it not?
Yeah, it was.
He missed his finish, and then he just hit a jackknife, and they got the three.
God, I have no clue who I want.
I think you want Tyreek Hill.
I took him already.
Oh, it's my next snake draft.
Yeah, I could still get Miles Sanders.
Take Miles Sanders; he's gonna be a star. But
I'll take him.
Mercedes Martinez and Ayla versus Aaliyah, not Ayla.
Ayla
versus Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter. Ayla is the greatest superstar ever.
Fucking Lamar went in fucking round two.
What an idiot. Who to who?
I don't know. Someone I don't know.
Oh.
And now Rod just took Mahomes.
But quarterback's going early.
I know. It fucking is wild.
But Io told Dakota Kai that she would soon feel like she once had Shayna Baszler. Cameron Grimes popped up again.
Oh, Io's promo was fucking phenomenal.
It was awesome. Cameron Grimes promised to take the North American Championship because he just kept popping up around the show and
going
was phenomenal.
Straight to the moon.
Straight to the moon.
Cameron Grimes.
I love him. He's the greatest man ever.
He's great. I'm glad I got you on the Grimes train.
I was on from the beginning.
I was on before you were on.
You were on before. You were a big Trevor Lee guy, though.
Of course.
But Robert Stone does what he does.
He used to go to PWG shows and say, Impact Wrestling star Trevor Lee. He was the best.
Robert Stone offered Katie Catanzaro to join the brand because that's what he does.
Oh, my God. So I love how I love. Do you notice that he just like tweets random celebrities, asking them to join the Robert Stone, like, yeah, not even wrestlers.
It's hilarious.
He's like, hey Oprah, would you like to join the Robert Stone brand? I could get one of my Robert Stone representatives in contact.
Casey Catanzaro slapped the lever living fuck out of him,
and O'Shea Jackson accepted the offer.
Wait, which O'Shea Jackson, senior or junior?
Junior.
Okay, I thought Ice-T was gonna be in the Robert Stone brand for a minute.
He said Ice-T,
Ice Cube.
Ice-T is too busy with doing that. What is he on?
Law and Order SVU.
SVU.
He's,
yeah.
He's Odafin Tutuola. Detective. That's his name. Odafin Tutuola. Odafin Motorola. But,
I got time for my next pick.
She smoked Robert Stone right in the face. And the babyface tag team went really quickly and isolated Aaliyah because she's awful. But the veteran Mercedes Martinez got involved. She turned the action around, and then she isolated Caden Carter. Catanzaro got the hot tag to fight Martinez, but she ran into taking an air raid crash and the loss.
You struggle getting through that.
There's a lot of KCs.
There is.
It's hard to get through. Rhea Ripley hit.
No, this is what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So Rhea Ripley is trying to make a save, but she hears her theme music. So she has to do her fucking stomp. She has to do her fucking stomp on beat with the music before she can run down and make the save.
It was like Vampiro.
Remind me never to be friends with Rhea Ripley. She's done this like 5 times now. She always has to do her fucking stomp.
She does, but it was fine at what it was. And here we are in the main event, and I would like you to take back over. Right. You're going to direct us where this conversation is going to go.
All right, the NXT North American Championship qualifier, Kushida versus Cameron Grimes versus a mystery opponent. So the mystery opponent turns out to be Velveteen Dream. My thoughts exactly.
They had to say something.
But they didn't.
But they didn't. Whether he's innocent or not, I mean, if he's innocent, I don't want to be charged by anything or inaccurately charged and punished for it. But if he's not, I don't want him in the company.
Fuck you,
but either way, they had to make a statement.
Fuck you, Leek.
What do you take?
Kittle.
Yeah, I think Ertz is just as good. But
you are such a fucking homer.
I am a homer. Do you not see the basement you're in?
That's your basement. That's acceptable. Like, that's like me taking every fucking Ram in fantasy.
I don't take Eagles. I don't like cheering against them, so. But
so shouldn't you take them all if you don't like cheering against them?
Shut up and talk about the match.
There
was a weird Timmy Thatcher segment before this.
Yeah, Timmy Thatcher beat up a guy with a Finn Balor shirt.
Which is, dear God, that match will be fun. Grimes ran wild this entire match.
Yeah, Kushida and Grimes, it was mostly them having a one-on-one match with Dream on the outside. Dream finally got involved. Kushida put him in the hoverboard lock, but Cameron Grimes came in and hit the cave-in out of nowhere and pinned Kushida for the win. Afterwards, Dream attacked Kushida like a fucking dick. Finn Balor ran down and confronted Dream because they have a one-on-one match next week to determine who gets one of the final two spots in the ladder match.
North American title ladder match.
Yeah, so that was NXT. It fucking sucked.
It was awful.
It was probably the worst NXT in a while.
Cameron Grimes winning was big, though.
Cameron Grimes winning almost redeemed the whole show.
He's my NXT MVP because he was great the entire show. He goes straight to the moon.
He's my overall MVP. I don't care.
My MJF is my AEW MVP because, you know, he's just so good at what he fucking does. My overall MVP is Orange Cassidy. He has to be because...
Rhyme. Orange Cassidy has to be?
Yeah, Orange... Oh, wow. Orange Cassidy has to be because, you know, he just went over Chris Jericho.
No one wants Kenny and Drake.
No one wants... He fucking cost me $1,000 last year, so he can go fuck himself. Hope he goes undrafted and doesn't get paid and hates the next meal he has.
But oh, wow.
We had 4 fucking touchdowns in the first half. He had more fantasy points in the first half of his last game in my championship, which I had locked up until he scored 42 goddamn points. But who's your MVP? Hit me with him.
NXT, I'm going Adam Cole. Great promo. One of the few good things on the show. AEW MVP, I'm going Tully Blanchard. That promo kicked all the ass.
Oh, it did. I didn't even think about Tully.
And overall MVP is going straight to the moon. Cameron Grimes, baby.
I love Cameron Grimes. I hope he wins that title because him with a title will be great.
So up next, we will preview NXT TakeOver 30 and SummerSlam. You'll never see it coming. So stick around and we will be right back at you.
Now it's time for the weekend of the biggest party of the summer. We'll start off with TakeOver 30, which we were supposed to be at in Boston, the Boston Gardens, home of the worst people ever, the Boston Celtics, who the Sixers will sweep this week. But
you know you're going to sound like a fool when this is already out Tuesday when the Celtics won game one.
What do you? I'll buy dinner next week if you guys win game one.
All right.
Wait, there'll be three games by Saturday, right?
I think the third game is. I think they play Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Yeah.
Then they play Monday. If you're up 2-1, I'll buy dinner.
All right, I guess I'm buying dinner if you're up 2-1.
If that's okay with you.
Fuck it, why not?
I'm a gambling man. All right, we'll start off with TakeOver 30, which only has four matches, so a fifth one will probably be added, right?
Who knows?
They could go long. I don't see Cole and McAfee go long. But we'll start off.
These shows have been ending at like 9 o'clock lately, so yeah. Who knows what's going to...
Bronson Reed versus Damian Priest versus Cameron Grimes versus Johnny Gargano or Ridge Holland versus Finn Balor or Velveteen Dream.
All right, so I guess first of all, who do you think are going to get the last two spots?
Ridge Holland and Dream.
Oh, I think Johnny's taking another loss.
They do. Johnny does is lose.
I mean, that's fair enough.
That's all he does is lose.
He usually at least gets to the big match before losing it.
You're right, but I think it's going to be Ridge Holland and Dream, and I think it's Grime time, baby.
I think it's going to be Gargano and Dream, unfortunately. I'd rather be Gargano and Balor, but
I think it's Grime time. Straight to the moon. Because I think it was supposed to be Dexter Lumis's. I think he was going to win the title here, and he's injured because he broke his fucking leg doing a goddamn stupid flip.
That was a very stupid flip.
That is confirmed, right? That's when he did it.
I haven't heard that's when he did it.
I read that's when he did it.
But
I'm going Cameron Grimes. I think it's Grime time. We haven't had a character yet as that champion, and I think it's Grime time.
I will say I hope you're right, but I think it's Damian Priest. He's the guy that makes the most sense to win this match.
He's probably going to be the betting favorite.
He's the guy that I could see this title elevating to that main event level, which should be the point of this title, in all fairness.
Hey, look, but it's done that for everybody.
No, everyone has already been there.
Ricochet?
He was already there. He main evented already. Cole main evented already.
Lee?
You can make the argument, but he already had the moment of Roman at Survivor Dream. Series. Dream's already... Dream main evented several times before he won it.
Okay, you're right.
It's never truly been a mid-card title.
No, but...
It's like, but it NXT has never truly had a mid-card.
Yeah, no, it's been all great.
Yeah.
Just top to bottom. So I'm going Grimes, you're going Priest.
I am going
Priest. Will be the betting favorite.
I just think it makes too much sense.
Io Shirai versus Dakota Kai.
Another rhyme. As much as I like Dakota, I think Io is keeping this.
For a long time.
Yeah. I don't know who's going to beat her, but I don't think it's going to be Dakota Kai.
Nope, I don't think it is either. Up next, the match we've all been waiting for, Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee.
I still have no interest in this match. If it was on TV, I'd have a lot more interest in it. I just hate that this has taken up a takeover spot. I respect McAfee. I'm a big fan of McAfee. I appreciate how much work he's putting into it. He's been posting training videos every week.
He's fucking shredded.
He is, but he's always been shredded.
Yeah.
He's just got married. Dude's a stud. Cole has to win, right?
Yeah.
McAfee called him short for like a month now and told him he's nothing but a little bitty, tiny little bitch.
Stupid idiot. He dropped the SI.
Oh, we don't say those words around here.
No, we don't, because the guy who said them originally is a pussy.
Stop.
But Cole's winning.
Cole's got to win.
I can see Cole losing if the air explodes.
But what's the payoff if McAfee wins? You know what I mean?
The air explodes. He can fuck off after that. And it could be Cole and Roddy.
The air could explode after. But Adam Cole could be like, I did it all by myself.
Think about this, though. I think it's going to be the air turning on Cole because his selfishness cost him the tag team championships.
You can make that argument. You know? But he didn't do anything. The rest of the air is dumb. They shouldn't have got distracted by that.
That's true. And then finally, Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross. Something weird's going to happen here, but I don't know what it's going to be.
Something weird is going to be Karrion Kross going the NXT title, and Keith Lee's going to be on Raw on Monday.
You think so?
What else could they do?
I don't know.
I mean, Keith Lee would be, like, the shortest NXT champion of all time. That'd kind of suck, but, like, I don't think you could do a non-finish. I don't think Kross could lose. I think they put the title on Keith Lee knowing he was going to be a transitional champion, and... They know he's going to be a big star on Mondays or Fridays.
It gives Kross some credibility. I'm excited for that match. I want to see Kross toss him around.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a great match. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll have Kross lose, but I don't see that happening.
I don't see it. I'm going Kross as well. Okay, time for the biggest party of the summer, SummerSlam 2020, originally slotted to take place in the Boston Gardens, home of the worst people ever, the Boston Celtics.
And show your bank some respect.
And, Jesus.
I don't think there is any TDs around here.
No, there is. I think there's one in America.
There's a ton in Boston, dude.
I don't know. But I'm not familiar with
it. It is a Canadian bank.
I am not familiar with the New England banking system as much as you think I am. But here it is, SummerSlam 2020. You will never see it coming, much like the drum break in the air tonight. Up first, we got...
I love watching people react to that song.
Oh, it's great.
They're always so stunned.
Street Profits versus Andrade and Angel Garza. Is it time?
Well, here's some facts. Since those tag titles became the Raw Tag Team titles, the Street Profits are the longest reigning Raw Tag Team champions ever. What else is there to do?
Drop it.
Exactly. I think Garza and Andrade. And Andrade's been eating a lot of pins lately, and usually in WWE, as ass backwards as this is, if you get pinned a lot, it usually means you're winning a title.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. And I think they win as well. Apollo Crews is MVP for the United States Championship.
This one could go either way.
It could.
I think at first I thought that Vince was gonna immediately push Apollo to the side once Heyman got the out. But it seems like he's still giving him a shot. So I think Apollo is going to retain the U.S. title. And as great as MVP's done this year, what would winning the U.S. title do for him? You know what I mean?
Absolutely nothing.
He's more of a, let's promote Lashley and Shelton.
And he's good at it.
So. And he's great at it.
I am also going Cruz in a good match.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
I think it's a good match. Up next, we got Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville, hair versus hair.
This one's, I don't know. This one, I really don't know.
I think I'm going Sonya. I think they're gonna cut Mandy's hair off.
Is this going to enrage Otis and like...
Yeah, and he's going to cash in on somebody.
That's not that unbelievable.
I think Sonya Deville is going to win this. Because I think the obvious choice to lose this match is Sonya Deville, and I think it's too obvious for it to happen.
Well, the obvious choice to lose this match is Sonya Deville, and that's why I'm going with Mandy Rose. Because, I mean, they already cut her hair. I don't know. I just don't see them making Mandy Rose bald. You know what I mean? I don't know. This one really could go either way.
And yeah, it's good. It's actually, I'm glad they put something on this that wasn't just a match.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. I mean, both girls, I'm assuming, agreed to being hair versus hair.
Yeah, I don't think they
would force... I don't think they would force you to cut your fucking hair.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in this one. Maybe the most interested I am in the show.
And Sonya's been on a roll, and I could see her trying to do anything to stand out. So that's
and
why
she's
I'm,
really fucking good.
She's so. Great. She's been cutting some of the best promos in the company.
Yep.
So that's why I am going with Kyler Murray. I'm not going with Kyler Murray. I was just very confused that he just went in the sixth round of this fantasy draft.
Quarterbacks aren't touched in my draft till the ninth round.
I know. That's why I'm very stumped about this fantasy draft.
I mean, you get the Mahomes going and the Lamars, but...
I think it's like once someone takes a quarterback, everyone panics. Yeah, that's it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, everybody.
Well, I'm not going to panic. There's 32 of them bitches.
Yeah, and one of them is Big Ben, so I just...
So I'll lose him by week three.
No, 500 yards a game, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's the Big Ben stat line.
Yeah, I'm going with Mandy. Just because you went with Sonya, let's be different. We haven't disagreed yet.
Yeah, I know. I agree. But I agree that we should disagree. Jesus fucking Christ. Up next, the SummerSlam street fight. Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins.
Oh, man.
I'm going Dominic.
I'm going to go Seth.
You're going to go Seth?
I don't think Dominic should win his first ever match.
I don't think he should, but I think there's many ways he can.
I think Ray's definitely going to get involved.
Joe, possibly. And maybe that'll be Joe's entrance back into wrestling.
And maybe Joe will be a disciple. Nah.
Ooh.
But who knows?
Ooh, that'd be interesting. Okay, Sasha Banks versus Asuka.
So, we all know the history with Sasha. She's won every one of her women's titles on TV, and she's lost at every pay-per-view she's ever defended the title at. Actually, she won one of her Raw women's titles at SummerSlam, but she lost it on TV. The point is, she's never successfully defended a title on pay-per-view. I think they're going to flip it. I think Bayley's going to be the one to lose on pay-per-view to Asuka. I think Sasha's going to retain, and the rift is going to keep.
I like that a lot, but I think...
That's what they should do. Is that what they will do?
I don't know. That's absolutely what they should do. Well, actually, we'll pick both of them here. I'm going Asuka 2 belts, and that's the rift.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think they do both.
I think they're going Asuka 2 belts.
I think I'm going with Sasha to retain the Raw, Asuka to win the SmackDown, which is weird because Sasha's on SmackDown and Asuka's on Raw.
Yeah. But that's what they should do. I think after going Asuka too.
And then I think next week at Payback they lose the women's tag titles, whoever they're defending against.
Yep, and then here we go.
Explode.
Wow, there was some fucking force behind that.
I boxed for like a couple months.
When?
Me, Matt Colley, and Vinny Scarantino, baby. We're throwing them hooks.
Oh, Vincent. Oh, Vinny.
We're throwing them hooks, baby.
His like father ran the boxing
club. Hell yeah, he was our trainer, baby.
That's awesome. He just looks like a boxer.
I was rotten. I was no good.
I can see that.
Dude, I had some power on that left.
Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton.
So the rumor that Dave Meltzer has talked about is that he doesn't know what the finish of this match is going to be, but it's going to lead to a rematch and Payback in some form or fashion. So that leads me to believe that Drew will retain in some kind of convoluted fashion, and then Orton will take it at Payback.
I think he wins. I think Drew wins both of them.
Really?
I don't think they're taking it from, I don't think they're putting it on Orton.
Well, you're walking away like we don't have one more match.
No, we're going to talk about stand-up, but I got a back spasm.
Oh, well, shit. I'm on the clock.
No, I think Drew wins both of them.
What do I need?
I don't know. What do you need? I'm not looking at it.
Got Sanders, Tyreek Hill, Robert Woods, and Waller. Any good running backs on the board?
But I...
Swift.
Bray Wyatt versus Big Show Strowman. Big Showman, if it is.
Yeah, Braun is bald, ladies and gentlemen.
That must be that toxic swamp water.
Yeah.
Who currently is the champion?
Braun,
right?
Yeah.
I think The Fiend takes it.
I don't know what the finish is going to be, but Alexa Bliss is going to be involved in it somehow.
Yeah.
I think she turns on Braun.
That'd be unfortunate.
Well, I mean, he just fucking press slammed her on Friday.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know what to take, dude.
Just take a running back.
DeAndre Swift, Taylor, Mark Ingram, Raheem Mozart.
Mozart's a good pick, but later. David Montgomery's a good pick. But I think...
David Montgomery's there. Kareem Hunt's there.
I wouldn't touch Kareem Hunt with a 10-foot pole, but I think Bray's taking it, and Braun goes away for a little bit.
Yeah, I think The Fiend is also winning. I got fucking 15 seconds to make a pick.
Pick. But that's SummerSlam, and we will see you next week with our direct reactions. And coming up next, I'll get you out of here.
I made a panic pick.
Who'd you pick?
Mark Ingram.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That was a panic pick.
You know what? He always scores like 3 touchdowns a fucking game, so.
All right, Mike, we'll get you out of here in a second.
Thank you once again for listening to the Champions Advantage Podcast. Follow us at Champions Pod on Twitter. We are on Tuesdays. We're funny and hilarious, I swear. On Mondays, we have Gil Cuda Jr. at Cuda_Jr. at Top of the Rope Wrestling Radio, CBS Baltimore, and a podcast available later in the week. He's a great guy with a great wrestling take. Bearded Chris P. on Twitter. He's the rootin' tootin'est impact man of the West. He comes out on Wednesdays. And make sure you follow at Ron_Musto_Jr. and at LindsBeHonestX. And follow the entire network at TT_4U. That's TT_4U. Thank you and have a blessed night.